This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
What's up, peeps? Welcome back to Rebranding Safety. Today we've got another live conversation from the EHS Congress in Berlin, this time with the amazing Juliana Blay, a lovely woman, an amazing brain, a TEDx speaker as well. So much amazing stuff came from this conversation. It was an absolute pleasure. It was a live conversation again from the EHS Congress in Berlin. If you are gutted that you have missed the Congress in Berlin, make sure you check it out for the next year. I definitely think it's worth the trip. It's an amazing couple of days to evolve our brains and challenge the way we think and come up with new ideas. But if you are so impatient that you want to check something out, they made an amazing announcement in Berlin that they are bringing the Congress to partnership with the conference that we have every year in December in London. There is another kind of mini event going within that event run by the EHS Congress team, which we're going to talk about more in the next podcast with Andrew. So make sure you check that out as well. We'll put the website in the description below. But for now, let's get into our amazing conversation with the amazing Juliana Blay.
Do you want to introduce yourself to start off with, Juliana?
Yes. So I'm Juliana Blay. I'm from Brazil. I live in Brazil and work in Brazil.
Yeah.
I've been working in the EHS area for 25 years almost. And my passion in this area is learning processes, the learning processes. So I am really interested in how to support people to this development, people in this area, leaders, EHS professionals.
Nice. So you're a health and safety professional.
I am a psychologist.
That's what I picked up from my research, is that you're a psychologist.
Yeah, I am a psychologist.
Because your TED Talk's about psychology, isn't it?
My TED Talk is about managing crisis and change management.
Yeah.
Using self-care and healthy and safety practices to support our crossing over during the crisis. It's about EHS, but it's not only about learning as a strategy process or as an organizational process.
Yeah.
In that case, in my TED Talk, I am talking about personal management.
And how did you make the transition over into like health and safety, like and to be here then? Was that always there, or was there a point when you transitioned to go?
When I was in graduation, 1999 I discovered the mental health at work. And I got in shock with the numbers. At that time, we were preoccupied and worried about the mental health of our workers.
Yeah.
Today is a concern in the whole world.
Wow.
I started to study and research and to make projects in this area, and I've discovered the accident issue. So I got more shock because people were dying working. And in Brazil, in Latin America, in Africa, our work conditions are not often so good. So we have a lot of tragedy and undesirable situations happening, and the companies are so engaged and trying, and EHS practitioners as well, engaged to how can we support these operations in a safer way that we are doing right now. So this is our big challenge, and I felt in love with this area.
Wow.
Since the beginning.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That is. And when your workshop or keynote's today, isn't it?
Yesterday.
Yesterday, and then you're doing a workshop as well.
A workshop
today?
With learning practices for EHS professionals.
A lot of what you talk about, like the description of that, was like a lot of focus around dialogue and like conversational learning, like that. And if I remember right now, I watched your TED talk, but I watched it with subtitle translation because it's in Portuguese, I think.
Yes.
So I was reading it, and I think there was a bit lost in translation on the auto subtitles. But what I could pick up is that dialogue is a big part of that, like conversation, understanding yourself, and then being able to use dialogue.
To call for help, emotional support.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
A network to support you into your during your journey of navigation into a crisis. So, yeah, it's Scott Geller years ago designed the concept of actively caring. So it's something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
We have to
actively caring.
Caring. Self-care. We have to become accountable with our self-care, caring. Ourselves in an emotional way, in a practical way, in a physical way, social way. We can live a life in engaging, in caring for each other and receiving caring, receiving support, and running a culture of care around us in family, in society, everywhere. So the dialogue thing is... we are saying into the learning area that we are now lifelong and life-wide learners. So life-wide is now we have to learn everywhere with everyone. We are not connected strictly with formal education and learning anymore.
Yeah.
Because we are learning with podcasts, with YouTube videos. So in everywhere with everyone. So learning is a lifestyle.
Yeah.
And lifelong because we have to reskill and invest in our self-development and evolving every day during all of our lives.
Yeah.
The learning don't stops when you finish your graduation.
Sure. Yeah.
It's not about this anymore.
Yeah.
We have to face a lot of crises, challenges, social, climate changes, and all of this. These things and things are changing fast in our society, and change and learning are sisters. So
I like it. Because what kind of resonates from that with me is that I didn't really learn anything from school. I was really bad at school.
Me too.
Probably spent way too much time messing around, but. Doing the podcast, which is all dialogue, so literally just invite people on and we just talk about things. I have learned more doing that than anything. Whether it was my education into safety, education in school, whatever, I've learned more just talking to people. And then a lot of what we do in work in consulting is just going on the shop floor and talking to people, going in the boardroom and talking to people.
Yeah.
Like the power of a conversation, I think, is massively underappreciated.
Yes, learning for human beings is made by relationship.
Mm.
And school, unfortunately, sometimes are a good place for relationships, but not all the time.
Yeah.
We have a lot of information, we have a lot of pressure, we have a lot of assessments, and maybe a few time to relationship with human connections. So this is the most powerful ingredient that we have. And Safety 2, HOPE, and New Views of Safety, as an example, are ways to think safety when we have recovered the power of relationship, the actively listening, go to the ground, listening people, developing, co-creating solutions with people. It's not important if that people has a master degree. This is not the thing. We have to dialogue, we have to understand and empathize with our pains, our difficulties, the bad things that are happening with our people, and when we connect, because we are mammalians, right? We have to remember it. Yeah. Mammalians are prepared to work better and to live better under good and strong emotional connections. So relationship is the most important tool to enhance and to develop learning. Especially every time, but in adult learning, this is a very important thing, because we have been trained to understand that adult learning is about share information.
Yeah.
This is not about it.
Yeah.
Adult learning is about relationship.
Yeah.
And information is part of the process.
Yeah.
It's another ingredient into the plate, but it's not the most important. So when you have a teacher, a master, an instructor with a lot of content, but without relationship, without passion, without openness to dialogue, we will not learn a lot with this person.
Yeah.
And you can sit down and have an informal conversation with a person, and this conversation could bring you more learning, more development, more insights.
Yeah.
Than a lecture with 100 slides and a lot of content, you know?
Yeah. When you talk about, as well, in your work of, like, traditional approaches to learning, and then, like, what you're kind of talking about, what does that look like in, like, the working environment? Is it just a lot of relationship building and conversations, or is there more to it as well?
It's a mix of a lot of ingredients in a good design. Today we are talking about learning design.
Okay.
We can design experience learning.
Yeah.
As an example, with VR, with simulators.
Yeah.
When you have VR and a good software simulating a risk situation, but you don't have a good educational plan around this technology,
okay,
this is only entertainment.
Right, yeah,
this is not education, you
right.
know? So we have a discussion, video game is, our child are learning something with video game. Sometimes it depends on if we are evolving the technology with a good plan that fits with the learner necessity, the things that the apprentice are going to learn to do something, and the resources are full connected with these needs, and we can connect each other, we can open a safe space to failure, to discuss some not so clever things.
Yeah.
So this is a good environment to learn things. So the innovation into this area is not only about technology, it's much more than that. It's about reduce in a way the whole of the content. The content is not, inform is not training.
Right.
It's not the same.
Okay.
So I can show you 200 slides with content, and you go out and you will not do anything different because you've heard a lot of content. So
yeah.
I have content, but I am not applying. I don't know how to apply it.
Right.
I don't have abilities, skills. I don't have techniques. I don't have strategies. Repertoire, so it's not possible to transform information and behavior. When you move into a more multidimensional education,
yeah.
not only with content, but with relationship trust and relationship, a safe space to practice, to play, different resources, videos, study cases, interaction, visits on the floor, and real cases. We can mix a good menu of plates, and it enhances the chances that you have that that objective turns into practice, you know. Yeah. So we enhance the effectiveness, and maybe the pleasure and the engagement of these people into the organizations, yeah, as an example, with learning process. Because now, if you ask people to go to a safety training, I am not sure if your room will become fulfilled. I am not sure.
No way.
Yeah. People are not interested in going to the safety training. No. So this is this is one of my preferred challenges. Mm. How can we organize this moment that when we are invitating people to come, wow, that safety training? Yes, I will definitely go there, and I will quit my meetings, and I'm going to this moment because this is good for me. This will enrich my way to handle things, to relationship with people. Yeah. So there is a gain. Yeah. It's better for me to go there than to go to the office. I like to go to the safety training. Yeah. This is my dream.
Yeah.
Listening people to telling this thing. I really like to go to this safety training. Oh, yes. We are doing an amazing work.
Yeah. I like you were saying there about, like, we can have the content and the tools and that, but we still need to have like a bit of a strategy, or like, what are we trying? Why are we having this conversation? What
are we trying, the purpose.
Yeah, like, purpose to it.
Yeah.
We get quite a lot where someone will be like, they've read a book about HOP, or they've read Sydney's work or whatever, and they've got, oh my God, I want to do like a learning team, and I want to do this stuff. And it's like, okay, why?
Why?
Why do you want to learn?
Yeah.
Because we have to design it in a way that gets what you want.
Uh-huh. So, in a nutshell, first we have to ask why we are planning a training and not changing condition.
Yeah.
Because training or workshops or learning teams are healthy and good things.
Yeah.
When we choose these tools to heal some pain, so we have to choose the right remedy for the right pain.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
And in safety area, we have a tradition to use training to try to heal everything.
Yeah.
This is not it's not clever. It's not wise.
Yeah.
So this is an educational challenging. Yes, so let's go. We have to make a diagnosis, not a culture diagnosis, but a learning diagnosis. I like to use a simple and know a tool that is empathy map from design thinking.
Yeah.
So easy to use.
Yeah.
Have an empathy map and go to the floor and ask people why we have to do this.
Yeah.
We have to design the educational experience with the learner, not without the learner.
Yeah.
This is one of game changer of the new this innovative way to teaching people. Learning human centered design. So I am planning for you, so I have to ask you, do you like to eat apples? Because if you don't like to eat apples, I will not put apples in my plan. So it's it's essential. So I am going to the people, understanding their reasons, their motivations, their needs, and we return with the specialists and we design a journey, 1 hour, 2 hours, 8 hours, whatever. Part in the LMS, part of this in micro learning with watching videos and playing games. We have a huge universe of resources to connect, to offer a good experience for these people. But the meaning and the purpose is the key. that engage these people. But because in adult learning, we know for 50 years that adults prefer to learn useful things. Because this is not useful, this is not connected with my reality, or this is so different that things I am thinking now, it's probably I will not perceive value into this experience, yeah. And I will try to go out.
Yeah, yeah.
So we are, first of all, in HS area, I guess, sense makers.
Yeah.
We have to work as a sense makers every day, because safety needs to make sense in the first.
Yeah.
And after, we will try to prepare them to organize tools for these people, and they will learn how to use some tools. Dialogue is a good example. All of us, we love interaction and talking, and but dialogue, when you experience a structured dialogue, we discover that this is much more powerful than that we are able to do without tools.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of dialogue tools that are so simple and so powerful. And when we try to accustom people with this more structured way to dialogue, we start to discover new possibilities of work together, teamwork, co-creation, building and developing psychological safety, using simple things that are now in the app, in your cell phone. It's easy. But we have to try to practice to put ourselves into the dojo, you know.
Wow.
It's a kind of dojo.
Yeah, yeah, no, I like it. I like it. If you were to kind of say, so someone's listening to this and they're like, I love all of this.
Uh-huh.
What would you say be the first thing that they should do? If they're like, I want to do everything that you're talking about,
uh-huh.
What do I do now? I want to do it now. What would you tell them to go and do first? Like, to play around with something first, or read something, or what?
Okay. There are a lot of options, but I will suggest the first, choose a good program where you can experience as a learner this kind of experience learning or learning programs.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you feel it for a while, you will experience the outcomes.
Okay.
And become more aware why this is so important. And yes, there are creative ways to do the same thing that we are doing for 20 years. There are a lot of options to change the same topic into a game, into an app, into a podcast.
Yeah.
Because safety is a repetitive topic. We are always talking about the same thing,
yeah.
You know? If you have a lot of tools in your toolkit and a lot of different strategies, you can teach for the same people the same topic during 20 years every time in a different way.
Yeah.
And this is it turns into an interesting topic experience. Oh, I know about it, but I go there because that people is nice and the experience is good. And wow, every time I have to reconnect with this topic. So the first step is to live the experience, good experience. And we have into this safety area some of this experience, and we have a lot of options around. One of these options that I love and I am practicing for 9 years is the art of hosting.
Art of asking.
Art of hosting.
Oh, hosting. Right,
hosting.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
There is a website, artofhosting.org.
Oh, okay.
And is a global community In Brazil, we have a lot of events, and in Asia, Africa, all around in Europe, we have a lot of events. You spend 3 days or 4 days practicing participatory leadership, collaborative practices, dialogue, the art of harvesting, collect the results that matters.
Yeah.
So art of hosting, for me, was a very nice school because you find people from several different backgrounds, NGOs, climate change organizations, HR, a lot of areas are connecting into one place with maybe 40 people, 30 people, and you live first the experience. And then you can understand, wow, this is for me. Oh no, this is really good, but this is not. Yeah. It doesn't fit with my area. Right. So we can start to develop your all toolkit.
Wow.
And this is so exciting.
That sounds amazing. Thank you very much for your time, Julianne. It's been really, really good.
Oh,
thank you very much.
Thank you, James. It was amazing. Thanks so much.
The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the host and its guests and do not necessarily reflect the position of the companies. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are examples only based on limited and dated open source information and should not be utilised in real life as the only solution available. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the companies. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, or otherwise, without prior written permission from James McPherson.